Welcome to Wisco Dice.
Welcome to Wisco Dice.
Wisco Dice.
Wisco Dice. Yeah.
Oh my God, that was like almost a participation there out of someone.
Yeah, totally.
Hey, all right. So someone. Who's in the studio today?
Me. I'm Paul. Hi. How are you doing?
Hey, Paul.
Hey, Paul.
We're doing pretty good.
Good.
All right. And who else we got with us?
Stark. Brian is back.
Bring me back.
All right. And I think I'm seeing Stark actually painting.
I was just going to bring that up.
Goodness.
So what are you painting over there?
A skeleton at the moment.
Skeleton.
Awesome. That's cool. He's looking pretty sharp.
First time I've ever actually seen you paint.
We'll cover a little bit more
me too. That's the first time.
We'll certainly cover a little bit more about what he's painting and why he's painting it later in the show. So stay tuned and find out about that.
Yeah.
Anyways, I'm also sitting here. I'm the Conesy with the most. And if you saw my midsection, you'd understand why. Because it is fairly round and plump and good.
Rotund.
Yes.
Yeah.
Hey, rotund. My near 400 pounds of goodness.
Really? That's a lot.
I call it like I see it.
Yep. I'm the only podcaster that gives Ben Diesel a run for when it comes to getting to McDonald's.
Yeah, except you won't play ogres.
That's because I don't have to resort to playing the best army out.
I feel sorry for Ben Diesel right now. Oh my goodness.
What does he play? He plays demons, and then he played ogres. Empire.
Guy's not even here to defend himself. He's just ripping on him.
Hey,
first your wife rejects him. Now you tell him that he's a cheesy player. What the heck?
Hey, I got to be the biggest podcaster around, you know. Anyways, no, we love you, Ben. Keep up the good work.
Yeah, that Ben, not this Ben so much all the time.
All your cuddly jiggles means we need to reach out and cuddle.
You know, he was brave enough to get a picture of a toga. I don't think you're brave enough to do that.
Enough alcohol in me, I'd be brave enough to do a whole lot of stuff.
Anyways,
we're not quite that show.
No.
Anyway, so what are we going to talk about today?
I don't know, Brian. What are you going to talk about?
Well, I guess I've been designated to talk about how to paint Citadel miniatures.
The book.
That we're going to talk about that release.
Cool. We're also going to talk about speed painting, as it says, to produce results within hours. It's like magic.
It is. It really is. It's certainly magic. We're going to talk about a couple of our different approaches. I think we're going to talk about Paul's approach and my approach on that.
Yeah.
And then we're going to review the Podcaster's Challenge, which was something that Wisco Dice actually participated in, at least me. And that was over Mother's Day weekend in South Bend, Indiana. So we'll talk about that a little bit. And of course, then we get all your favorite segments. So hang out with us for the next couple hours and listen to some great radio.
Radio.
Or not so great, however you might feel.
That's radio.
Just make sure you get out on whatever your favorite listening media is and leave us a review, whether that's iTunes or Stitcher Smart or wherever that might be.
Facebook, Twitter, whatevs. It'd be cool.
Okay, so we're going to go ahead and talk about what we've done in the last couple weeks. Let's go ahead and start with gaming. Has anybody played any games?
No.
I don't think I have either.
I failed, unfortunately.
Last podcast.
I had to think about this. I'm pretty sure.
You played that Tuesday after the last podcast.
Yeah, I played.
I remember that one. Or was that the same week as the podcast?
No, I didn't play this last Tuesday. No. I showed up to play, and there was an odd man out, so I left.
And I was a slacker.
So I left and went to board games.
Oh. I don't feel so bad then. If I missed a game against you, I don't feel as bad as if I
I gave up the game. I would have been playing Dustin with the Demons.
Oh.
He was there. Dustin with the Demons, Big Ben with the Ogres was there.
Yep.
I was there. Enzo was giving an intro. Mm-hmm. With a new kid, so
hopefully
he sticks around and we definitely talked him up quite a bit on, you know, hey, we'll loan you minis or whatever you want and help you get started.
Totes.
And hopefully we got, you know, so that was all paired off when I got there, so.
Nice.
Or, well, I guess the Dustin and Big Ben were paired off, but I paired those two off, so I'd rather sit out a game than see somebody that doesn't show up very often.
Yeah.
Not get a game.
That makes sense.
So,
well, that's a bit sad.
And I knew I had board gaming going on, so.
Yeah.
It's only been a week or whatever.
I played a lot of board games, though, so in the last 2 weeks, so.
All right.
I'll make up for it that way.
Sounds good. Hobby recap. Have we gotten any hobby done?
Yes.
Yeah?
I have gotten lots of hobby done.
Yeah? Did you finish the 5 models?
I do. They're done. They're sitting over on the painting desk finished. Those I've actually finished up this morning, though, so...
They are finished.
I did have to go, oh, crap, I've done all this hobby, and I haven't touched those models yet in 2 weeks. So I kind of panicked. I kind of panicked this morning and went and finished them off. It didn't take too terribly long. It only took me about an hour of sitting down and finishing off and doing some highlights and touching up where things needed to be touched up. I'm real happy. This is probably the best painted gore out of the 20 I've now painted, so...
Nice. The legal unit.
I had a legal unit at 10.
Oh. You had 2 legal units. Oh, you almost have an army now.
I have 1 unit of 20. That's what I got right now. And a chariot.
Yeah.
But I have core. I just need a hero, and I've got like 250 points. It's great.
All right. So your hobby goal from last week...
was to finish up those 5 gore.
And you succeeded!
I did that. There was something else I thought I was supposed to do, too.
I don't know.
I know I finished it, whatever it was.
Yep.
Whatever it was. I went to the moon... It's done. We're all taken care of.
I did put together a couple more of my harpies. And I know I promised to write up for the website. Yeah. I didn't get that accomplished, but that was not part of my hobby goal, so I'm okay there.
Oh,
I have plenty more of those to go, and I do want to do a picture-by-picture write-up and explanation on how I'm putting these together and converting them. But the last couple were more for me to kind of try some new things with the miniatures. Like, I've got one that's launching itself off a... branch and one that's kind of in the process of maybe landing. And they're definitely improving, but some of the, like, I had to figure out how to sculpt and get the legs quite right for repositioning the legs. So
I noticed you also focused a little bit on the boobs there.
They are short a boob.
Yes,
all of them.
They all have one boob.
They only come with one boob on the miniature. I need 2 boobs for a harpy.
You need 2 boobs for a harpy. Is that it?
That's
just, otherwise it's not a harpy? What is it then?
It's not a harpy.
I mean, is
that... The harpy didn't have breast cancer and hacked it off. No, they need to be harpies. So
they're not Amazon harpies, is what you're saying?
No, they need to be full-on harpies.
All right. Anything else you worked on?
Amazon harpies?
Amazon's would cut off their left breast. They're better at shooting.
No, I did not know that.
Yeah. That was the idea. I mean, that's what I...
The more you know, you got to remember to bleep that. If this bit is still in.
Oh, it'll be in. Nice. Maybe.
Yeah. As opposed to last week where you said bleep, and then you use your own bleep to cover your own swear, really? And you missed it for like half a second.
No, I just re-recorded a bleep over the top.
All right. Anyway, so...
At least the bleep was kind of where it was intended to be.
It was kind of there.
All right, I also...
Oh.
On top of all of this, I have been highly motivated, folks. Started putting together my Impact City Roller Derby Girls, which are really not much...
Roller Derby. I just had to throw it in
roller
there.
Derby. Get out there and get involved in your local roller derby. Which really, putting together the Roller Derby Girls wasn't so much of putting together, because it's really just
putting
miniature in slot a base.
Yeah.
It's... sculpting of the... I'm doing a hardwood floor that they're skating on, so I'm literally sculpting in with green stuff the hardwood floor. So it just makes them look... I think I saw pictures of some that were painted up and had the hardwood floor underneath them, and I thought it looked really sharp. I was really kind of torn on how to base them originally, too, so I think that really helps. It makes them look sharp.
So it took you 6 weeks to finish 5 male models with painting, but you assembled 4 female models in like 2 hours.
Well, 2 of those female models just really need to get put in the slot of base. And those didn't take 2 or 4 hours.
Oh, no?
Those are, like... I can do one usually, like, in an evening when I'm not focusing entirely on the model, though. It'd probably take me, like, an hour and a half, 2 hours. I mean, there's things like letting the green stuff set up enough so you can work with it and whatever.
All right. Anything else you got done?
That is all that I got done.
All right. Coolio. I, in the last 2 weeks, painted up an army again, but not nearly as nice as the last army that I painted up, but I did. And I also finished assembling my new Ogre BSB for my Ogre Kingdoms army, so that was pretty fun. But that's pretty much the entirety of my model for the past 2 weeks. I didn't get a whole lot done. I had a lot of other stuff going on in the last 2 weeks, so... Ryan, how about you?
It's time to get rid of that other stuff and focus on what should be your real priority.
I've done a little bit. Like, as we speak, I am painting a skeleton.
Which is... Yeah. I don't know if you know, but, like, he said that it's the first time he's painted it. But, like, literally, it's just... It's like, it's not Brian. It's somebody else.
Well, let's talk about that a little bit for a second, Brian. I understand you did try painting before.
Well, I painted forever ago when I first started Warhammer.
And how did that go for you?
I don't know. They got paint on them. They look like crap.
Which meant how eager were you to paint something again?
I suppose it did make me not very eager.
Again, we'll talk a little bit later in the show about what may have changed this new painting machine now out of Brian.
Painting machine! I've been going for like 2 hours straight. It's crazy.
I've seen you paint before, and it was never 2 hours straight. So,
I guess I did paint a little while ago.
You've got to be getting pleased with the results that keep you interested in what you're doing.
Yeah, I guess.
Like 2 weeks from now, he'll come back on the show. You'll have like a whole army painted.
Yeah, like Brian.
I don't even have the whole army assembled. All right. Well, that was what I'm doing at the moment. Otherwise, in the past week or whatever, I had my Tomb King's army pretty roughed up because I don't transport it very well. So I put my Scorpion back together because I had a bunch of legs broken off, and then I dropped it on the floor.
Oh.
Nice. So that's a do over. And then I've still been sculpting that Ushabti weapon very slowly. So that's what I accomplished.
Nice.
Okay. Well, I guess that covers up what we've accomplished or not accomplished in the last couple of weeks.
Exactly.
So I think we'll go ahead and move on at this point, talk a little bit about the Podcaster's Challenge.
The Podcaster Challenge! Okay. Where was that?
This was set up by Mark that runs Nordlandser Podcast out of Florida, and he comes up evidently every year for Mother's Day or so to see his grandmother in Michigan. He looked at the map and he's like, wow, most of these podcasts, you know, Heilhammer and Wisco Dice, Garage Hammer and whatnot, are all kind of pretty close to Indiana. So let's see if I can get some guys together, show up, and we can play some games. And originally it started out, it was going to be kind of like this tournament thing. Mm-hmm. And then we just kind of turned it into pickup games, you know, as we talked and discussed what we wanted to do.
Yeah, I was unable to go because it was my wife's first Mother's Day, so, and also it was our fifth wedding anniversary, so that probably wouldn't have been the best wedding present. Hey, honey, guess what? We're going to go to South Bend, Indiana, so I can play Warhammer.
As it turns out, I would have had you back by Mother's Day.
Oh.
I was back Saturday afternoon. After having breakfast, going to Notre Dame, whatever, we were back in Wisconsin by Saturday afternoon, and I was playing board games Saturday night.
Nice. Well, we know what his priorities are.
So, playing games. If it would have been Warhammer to go play, I would have been playing that instead.
All right, cool. So how did the whole day go?
All right, so we're driving down there.
Driving.
And I get a tweet.
You talk about
on
yourself
Twitter.
And we.
Yeah.
Me and my wife are driving down.
Oh, she went too. Okay.
There's two characters in this.
There was a Wii.
And we were playing table tennis.
About 12 o'clock on the drive down there. We're scheduled to be there at like 1 o'clock. And about 12 o'clock, my phone lets me know I have a tweet. And I look, and it's from Andrew Sherman of Ohio Hammer fame.
Oh, hi, Andrew. Hi.
Andrew says that Mark had car problems and won't be there. At this point, I'm an hour away from South Bend. I'm physically in Indiana.
Yeah, and you're in Gary, Indiana, like the worst place in Indiana. You don't
no, we had just crossed. We had went through Gary, actually. We had been through Gary and had gotten onto the last chunk of interstate to go to South Bend. And so we were actually off on a whatever the turnoff was there. Like or whatever they call it, little waysides or whatever they call that thing.
Ah.
To get a bite to eat. I get to the game store. My wife drops me off, leaves me. She's like, I'm going to go to the hotel, and I'll go run around, have fun, do some fun. Like, okay. Because we have family in South Bend and stuff, or she has. So I'm like, okay, that's fine. I'll let you know when you need me. Okay, I sit there. It's like 3 o'clock. I'm like, where is anybody? So I call Mark. I have Mark's phone number. He's like, oh, yeah, I'm running really behind. I won't be there till like 6 or 7. I'll call a buddy of mine. I'll try to have him there by 4. Like, okay, well, it's about an hour. I'll just sit here I've been sitting here for 2 hours now. I'll just sit here for another hour. It's 4:30. Still nobody shows up. Like, what's going on here? wait another half an hour. I'm starting to get hungry. Hey. Still nobody shows up. I call Mark. Oh, yeah, we'll be there about 7. I got to get a hold of my buddy. He's going to be there in about an hour. Like, okay, well, at this point, I'm hungry. I don't have wheels.
Tired.
My wife's already out. I know my wife's eating dinner with her family at this point, so I can't call her to come get me. So I guess I have no choice. I'm going to sit here.
There wasn't any restaurants or anything like
Not
that?
Really close, no.
Vending machines?
Vending
anything?
Machine?
They had, like, soda and stuff there and some candy
that's
or whatever. So I'm going to have... I'm trying to diet. I'm trying to not be the Conesy with the most anymore. I'm on a diet. So I can't eat the junk vending machine food.
Oh.
So, finally, 6 o'clock, this group of, like, 3 or 4 guys show up with armies. And lo and behold, one of them's like, hey, are you for the podcasting thing? I'm like, yeah. He's like, hey, I'm here. I'm like, that's cool. It's finally somebody to play. I've been here sitting here since, like, 1 o'clock. Like, okay, so I played him. He was playing Ogre Kingdoms. It was a great game. We ended up playing...
Battle for the Past?
Nope.
Watchtower?
Nope.
Meeting Engagement?
Nope.
The Dawn Attack?
Nope.
There's only, like, one
Pitch
more.
Battle?
I can't think of the name.
Nope, not a battle line.
Is it out of the
Blood
book?
And Glory?
Blood and Glory. Blood and Glory. Awesome. It's right there. I'm like, I know it starts with B. Okay. So, yeah, we played Blood and Glory, and he had a ton. We were playing 2,500-point games, and he had 8
fortitude
points. So, that was...
pretty tough for you.
Well, I was playing ONG, so I had 2,500 points ONG, so I had... But my ONG at 2,500 points only had... 6 fortitude points or something like that. So I had general, battle standard, and... Nope, 7. It had to be 7. General's 2, battle standard's 3, 3 unit banners.
That's 6.
That's 6. Nope, it was 6. That's all I had.
Wow.
The Night Goblin banner. I mean, it's actually not a wow. I mean, you think about it. The ONG are down to... Most of the more competitive builds of ONG have two or three big blocks.
Yeah.
So, like, if you think of, like, what Chris, you had, he had 2 big blocks. Mm-hmm. General, BSB, 2 big blocks, and then his third big block was Squigs, no banner.
Yeah.
So.
Right. So how'd the game go?
It was one of the best, most fun games I've had against Ogre Kingdoms. It was really close. I ended up breaking on Fortitude. It would have been about the turn before I was going to I had a shot at breaking his Lord.
Ah.
So, I got him down to the Lord and the BSB and something else. I think he had 4 points of Fortitude and I had 3 and that was the break point, so.
Fair enough.
That was a good game. It was really good.
Cool.
So I guess I did play a game between recording last.
But it was an event. So, did you have fun?
It was really good. I'm really good. I'm really glad. It's always good to see as much as I gave Andrew a bunch of ribbings while we were there.
So who else?
It was always good to see Andrew. And then Mark from the Nordlander was there, and Mark was really good to talk to. And it's always good. It's really good to kind of you get an idea and a picture about what's going on, not just in your neck of the woods, but all over the place, especially when you're doing something like what we're doing, because it gives you, you know, it makes you a little more well-rounded for talking to your audience.
I'm not sure you need to be more well-rounded. Well, just saying.
I certainly am very opinionated.
Yes, you are.
So
strongly and heavily opinionated.
So it's nice to be able to sometimes be reminded to be able to see where my opinions aren't necessarily reflected as well in other gaming groups.
Fair
so,
enough.
Things like certainly this group, the group of guys that came down, painting was certainly not high on the priority list for them. And where that is, something I hold really, it's one of, as we know from listening to me on previous casts, painting is one of my pet peeves.
Yes, previous casts, plural. Me too, though, so, that's the way it goes. All right.
Me too.
Anything else to say about the podcast?
Definitely was a lot of fun. For you bums like a garage hammer, I'm going to call you guys out. Next year, you better be there. Even if I have to drive through your neck of woods and drag you kicking and screaming to get there because you missed out on a really good time.
All
right. Otherwise, and we're gonna and next year I'm gonna try to make sure we get the Point Hammer boys involved. We're definitely gonna do it again. All right. So the last thing I need to do here is that we all kind of agreed that the store that gave us the space to play and set this up at, that we'd all give them a one-time shout out on the show, which is cool in my book because, hey, honestly, this store was much better than anything we had here in Madison.
And he spent
honestly
a lot of hours in it.
Yeah, he did. He had a very close.
I had a lot of time.
A lot of time
to around the store,
review.
Every square foot.
Okay, I mean it was. I had plenty of time while I was sitting there to check this place out. The physical store, the actual land store, is great. Their online store, I actually spent some time checking that out. Looks really good.
Did you check out their online store at the store?
No, I actually didn't. I didn't realize they had an online store until later. So
that would have been, like, really hipster to be sitting in the store checking out the online store. They should have ordered it and said, "Can you give this to me now? I already gave you the money." Anyway.
It wasn't quite that. But
so who is this shout-out for? Who is this awesome game
store? So the store is called Fantasy Games in South Bend, in South Bend, Indiana. But their online store is chaosmailorder.com.
Cool.
They have pretty much everything you want. It looks like you can get your discounted Games Workshop merchandise through the site. You've got all sorts of other miniature systems from Hordes, War Machine, Reaper Minis, Helldorado. They had a lot of stuff. I almost picked up some Helldorado miniatures while I was there. Those models are really sharp. Lots of different paints, everything from Army Painter, the Games Workshop, Full Citadel Range. It was just all there, and it was nice to go in and see. Like, I know I commented a couple of shows ago about going into the Battle Bunker and being able to see, like, hey, this is a place that's got, like, the battalions on the shelf. It's got all the models in the range on the shelf. Everything. You walk into the store and you go to the Games Workshop stuff. If you just go into the physical store, you go to the Games Workshop stuff. It's all on the shelf by unit, labeled yep. by unit. So you just look at the shelf and go, oh, I want that. Boop. Take it. Mm-hmm. And everything was there. They had battalions there and stuff. And I know some of that's probably because they have the mail order business, but that's just really nice to go into a store. I mean, the board games were cool. They had a nice selection of board games. RPGs, they had everything you just about want, you know, from the Dungeons & Dragons, the Dark Heresy, Fantasy Flight stuff, Warhammer Fantasy Roleplay, all of that kind of stuff. It was all there. Great store. Check out their online store. Mention that your Wisco Dice sent them if you would. And that's, again, the online store, chaosmailorder.com.
Very cool.
All right. So I think we'll go ahead and cut a break at this point. And when we come back, we'll go ahead and move on with some of our other topics.
Hey, Ben.
Yo.
You live in Wisconsin, right?
Last I checked.
And you play Warhammer, right?
I sure do.
I'm getting really tired of playing you every week. How do you get a hold of other people to play Warhammer in Wisconsin?
Well, I just post over on the WWHFB forums.
WWHFB? What's that?
Well, it's the Wisconsin Warhammer Fantasy Battles League.
Really?
Yeah.
There's one in Wisconsin.
Yeah, that's what they are. They are all over the place.
Really?
Whether it's Milwaukee or Madison, Janesville or La Crosse. They're all over. They got members everywhere. They're always looking to play games, answer questions about Warhammer. Just have fun.
Wow, that sounds awesome. What was that website again?
It's at www.wwhfb.com.
Was that www.hfb.com?
Yeah, that's it.
www.hfb.com.
That is it.
I'll have to check it out.
All right, you do.
All right.
No.
Okay, thank you.
Yes!
We're going to talk about gaming with children again. Yay! That's my topic. I'm going to talk about communication and scheduling. The basic idea is that life gets a lot harder when you have a kid. I think most of you fathers out there, and mothers potentially as well, know that it gets a lot harder to start scheduling things, and communication is absolutely key. And I've been learning that not only being a father, but in pretty much all aspects of my life at this point, at work, with the podcasts, being a father, everything. Communication is being a lot more important. It's just taking up a whole lot more of my time, and it's not something that I've really been all that good at in the past, and it's something that I really need to start working on. What really kind of just struck me as why this became something that I needed to think about was my son started smiling for the first time the last couple weeks, instead of just sitting there and looking at you. Maybe he's looking at you, and maybe not. It really just comes down to when you look at him, he will actually look at you, and he will smile, and he will react to me in the very basic form. That's communication, and that's something that I've been lacking. That's something I'd like to work on, and it's been demonstrated to me a couple times in the past couple of months that it's not something I'm very good at doing. Second thing is scheduling. Even if I've planned out times to do stuff, there are definitely times when it's being preempted. It's just, there's really not an option. Warhammer used to be the thing that really could preempt everything, and it's not happening anymore. So I have something else that's preempting, and I'm really happy about that, and I need to be able to schedule better, and I'm really actually happy that I got an army painted this past week, because it was something that really helped me to be better about scheduling my time, because I had to make sure that I could play with him, and since, like I said, he's smiling now, he's reacting, I can't just set him in a cradle and say, all right, you're just going to take care of yourself right now, and unless you start crying, it's all going to be fine. I actually have to start painting, and when he needs attention, give him attention, go back to painting, and that's something that I've not been very good at in the past, of letting something go and then coming back to it. And especially with making sure that I had no commitments yesterday to paint this army, and knowing that this was what I was going to do and being really excited to do it, there was just a certain amount of sacrifice that had to go on because I have my son with me there, and my wife was there too, but it's not something that I can depend on her to take care of him every second of the day. That's really what this week has been about with me for gaming.
Love and marriage, love and marriage, they go together like a horse and carriage. This I'll tell you, brother, you can't have one without the other.
All right, so we're going to go ahead and talk about some speed painting.
Speed painting!
Gotta talk. So, what's some speed painting? Speed, you know, yes! We gotta talk really fast. This is gonna be a fast segment. Fast. No!
I don't think it's gonna be really fast. I don't think that'll be really good for radio.
No, I don't think it would be either.
No. Bad. It's not gonna be like the movie Speed, where we're gonna tie a bomb to Brian, and unless he finishes painting that model within 15 minutes, he blows up. But
it would be fun.
Yeah, thank
it
you.
It would be fun. I mean, he does look a little bit like Keanu Reeves if you squint a little bit. But anyway, we're going to just talk about speed painting in general, how it works, what we do with it, all that kind of a deal, that whole jazz. So,
What do you do with it?
Well, I mean, that's a really good point, actually, Brian. What do you do with speed painting, Ben? What's the point?
Point is to try to get an army painted to, or miniatures painted to, anyways, very quickly, and to what people would consider to be a tabletop standard. Mm-hmm. I try to define speed painting in my world, or what I think about as getting models painted well above that three color standard.
Okay.
So I think Paul's version of that is a little bit different.
Mm-hmm.
I think you're shooting a little bit more for some basic highlighting, but you're looking for trying to get your idea of speed painting and trying to speed paint an army is trying to get to that three-color standard,
yeah.
Maybe flock bases and whatnot.
It definitely has to be based. To me, an army is not finished until it's based. That's kind of an aside.
I differentiate the two personally,
mm-hmm.
but I do think an army isn't finished until it's based. But as far as when I'm thinking speed painting, I'm talking just getting the paint on the miniatures and getting it done really, really quickly.
I also kind of had this thought that, to me, everybody kind of starts out when they're painting speed painting, whether or not they know it or not. Do you agree with that statement or no?
Not at all.
No?
Speed painting requires you to have, particularly when we start talking about how I speed paint and the speed painting techniques that I was taught, it's completely different than what everybody starts out with painting.
So you're not talking about just slopping paint on the model and hoping it gets on there right?
Or just trying to even paint between the lines like we kind of talked about before. I do slop a lot of paint on the model really quickly, but there's very specific brushes that I use and very specific techniques that I'm trying to use to get to that point.
So it almost sounds like you're talking about a separate skill set, this whole speed painting.
For me, that is.
Okay.
I think we probably should go ahead and start with, let's talk about the army you painted and talk about what your approach was
mm-hmm.
to getting that army painted. Because you painted that all of yesterday.
Correct.
And it doesn't look bad. It does look pretty decent. So let's start with priming to begin with and getting that base primer coat on there.
Okay. Well, the first thing I did was this army was already completely assembled. I do have a couple more models that I have yet to assemble, but it's a full 2,000-point army. And it was already assembled, just sitting in my box at home.
Army of what?
It's Vampire Counts. Thank you for bringing that up. Slightly converted. I have 2 Vargulfs, 9 Bat Swarms, 9 Giant Bats, and then my ghouls are actually Gorghouls, Ungorghouls. So they have the ghoul bodies, the torso with the arms with the legs, but I cut off the legs at the knees, put paper clips in, and put the paper clips down into the base, and then sculpted hooves on the bottom for all the legs. And then I cut the joint, the ball joint on the throat from the ghouls, and mounted the Ungor heads on there instead. And then my characters are blood letter legs, cut off at the knee again, and then sculpted hooves on the bottom with fur. And then the torso is the ghast torso, and the arms are the long ghast arms from the ghoul bits. And then the heads are gore heads. And I actually have 2 heads that have been converted by my good friend Andy. He converted them to have this long, flowing hair instead of having the 2 sets of horns. So 2 of my vampires are decorated like that. The other 2 actually just have full-on gore heads with 4 horns in them. My basic thing was I started by priming them just basic black. Was lucky enough to actually have just enough black primer left in the house to finish priming all the models. I started on Wednesday night, and I ended up finishing priming them on Thursday
night. Okay, and at this point that we're talking about a lot of things, even the priming of the models, this is the first point I think we're talking about actually painting the figs.
Correct.
I don't want to take away from your work, but that's definitely where we're going.
Didn't base them at all. I did that afterwards, so we won't even talk about that. The basic idea is I primed them all black, and the first thing I did was I kind of looked at all the miniatures and decided to do a very, very, very simple paint job on them. I'll have pictures of these up on the website so you can look at them yourselves. I started out with Graveyard Earth dry brush on the bodies of every miniature. So the Vargulfs, Giant Bats, the Bat Swarms, the Gore Vampires, and the Ungor Ghouls all got brown dry brushed over pretty much every surface except for the wings. The second thing I did was I had about a third of a pot of Bestial Brown left, so I filled that pot up with water, shook it around a bit, and made that into a relatively diluted wash. And I washed my 2 Vargulfs first and my 4 Vampires second, and then I went and diluted it even more, putting that wash on top of the rest of the army. That was my base coat for the bodies themselves. And then the next coat that I did was Ghoul Flesh or something like that. It's a yellowish-white color, and I dry brushed that on to the wings, to the horns of the Ungors, to the hooves, and then any other bone that might be sticking on the ghouls themselves. I really liked the look of it at that point. I could have definitely gotten a little bit more detailed in it, but I liked the way that it looked. So I had 6 or 7 gravestones in, so I painted those in just a very basic yellow color. And then I took Scab Red and I painted all the claws and the mouths with Scab Red so it looked like they had been feeding. That was it. That's 3 colors. Every model does have 3 colors. Barely, I will freely admit. But they are 3 colors, and then I base them, and that's the way the army is done. It very much looks like a 90s style Warhammer army. As far as getting an army painted in on the table, I did it in 6 hours, so I was pretty happy with it.
I think the thing that we got here is he painted it black.
Yep.
And then there is a large amount of bulk painting, which is, you know, just using a larger brush or whatever to get color on everything. And then a lot of dry brushing and a little bit of wash.
Mm-hmm.
One thing to note, I know for me, when I visually look at it, I can't tell that you washed it.
Yep.
So the wash didn't have enough contrast from your color that you were trying to wash with it.
All right. You're painting an army right now, Ben, is that right?
I am. Then this is a project. I'm not really painting an army. I'm painting a unit.
Okay.
And it's 28 Marauders, Chaos Marauders. And these are painted with a technique I learned several years ago for speed painting. They were calling it an army overdrive at the time. The idea is you start with your primer undercoat, and you can start it with a white or a black. It doesn't really matter in that perspective. I like to start it with a black for the forgiveness of the black. Mm-hmm. The next thing is I want to try to minimize how many colors I'm using. So I want to bulk out as much color as I can over the entire model. In the case of the Marauders, I've got a lot of leather and a lot of flesh tone, so brown becomes an instant easy color to do the entire model, just paint almost the entire model in. So the entire model started out after I got the black primer on with a fairly wet brushing with what used to be called the Citadel tank brush. But if you go to like your hobby store, you can find it. It's going to be about a number 8 round.
All right.
Okay. And I literally brushed every model with bestial brown, which, yeah, I know that color is not available in the Citadel world anymore, but it's, you can find the color equivalents. Okay, so, yeah, you can find the color equivalents of the bestial brown or whatever the other colors. I'm going to use the old Citadel colors throughout the rest of this conversation. Now that I got that wet bestial brown over the top of the black undercoat onto the model, my next step is to paint on a layer of what is really kind of a wet dry brush of the next color. And I'm going to choose Snakebite Leather for the next color because I wanted my leather bits, my bottom part of the model, to have leathery-looking pants and stuff like that. And I want the top part of my bottle. I think Snakebite Leather will be a good transition color, a good transition highlight for the flesh tone that I'll eventually be painting over the top of it. So I went ahead and dry brushed all 28 models completely with Snakebite Leather. And it's a wet dry brush. I want a lot of color to go onto the model, but I don't want it to be like I just had the brush fully painted or fully, you know, just like I just dipped it into the pot or pull paint off the palette. So there's kind of a wiping of the brush a little bit on the, what I'm using is newspaper and I think that's ideal.
Yeah. That was something that you were doing that I noticed that I wasn't doing. You're using your newspaper to kind of wipe off the brush for dry brushing, and I use paper towel.
I think the newspaper doesn't absorb as well as paper towel does. You get a little bit more control over how much paint you're really pulling off the brush. On top of that, paper towel or newspaper is cheap, and I can swap it out fairly easily.
Cool.
In fact, it's so cheap, they send us newspapers every week for free, so I have plenty of newspaper to use.
Done and done.
On top of that, I think I don't know if I pointed out entirely but what I'm using for a brush, but I want to go ahead and visit that at this point, too. I'm using what used to be called the Citadel Tank Brush, and what this is it's basically a number 8 round brush. So I'm using a really big brush to put paint on these models. When I'm going to go ahead then and do my flesh tone, I take that tank brush, and yeah, that's I don't want to paint that whole model, but I'm going to hit the top part, the torso part of the model with a really, like, this is more your traditional dry brush of paint. And so I hit all 28 models then with a proper dry brush
actually,
of flesh.
I think I noticed one that you didn't, so I think you hit 27.
Oh, he's done.
Yeah,
you.
Oh, okay.
You went
to
get water, and
you
got
missed
done.
That part. magically finished.
Magically, this is a time travel episode too, evidently.
All right, so we got 28 guys with flesh tone. They did the dry brush, just the top halves. It's not a big deal that you get a little bit of flesh tone, say on the
pants.
Lower part of the pot, or like the pants and the leather parts, because what my next step is and these particular models was I went and took a brown wash. Happened to be Devlin Mud.
The Miracle Maker!
Well, it's not anymore because it's no longer available.
Well, now it's going to be like a hard-to-find rare Miracle Maker.
Yeah.
Like sell it on street corners and be like, $10 a bottle for Devlin Mud!
That's literally.
Yeah.
So, I washed the pants with Devlin Mud. Mm-hmm. Now, it didn't really have to be Devlin Mud. It could have been any brown wash. I could have even mixed up like a brown wash out of like scorched brown or really dark brown. But I just happen to have Devlin Mud, so I used Devlin Mud on the pants on all these guys. Now, what that really did is it, one, darkened the pants a little bit, because Devlin Mud is a little bit darker than Snakebite Leather, which was the last dry brush I had done on the pants. Certainly darker than any flesh tone I wiped on the pants. But it also then adds a little bit extra depth and contrast to the pants to make them look like there's creases in the pants and such. Mm-hmm. That's what a wash does. Okay. Now, at this point, the only thing I have left on these models to finish up, and I didn't have a chance, I only started painting on these guys about 2 hours before we started recording on the cast. The only thing I have left to finish up now on the models are the metal bits, which are just going to be a single coat of whatever metal I decide to paint on them.
Chainmail!
That just happens to be what I'm going to paint on them.
Oh, okay.
And then I'm going to pick out the leather bits that I happen to paint over the top of with the flesh tone dry brush. I will pick those back out with snake bite leather. And yeah, that snake bite on those straps won't look quite the same, but a quick wash of Devlin mud, if I really was ambitious, will get them looking close enough for my satisfaction of where I'm going with these models.
So what does it say about you that you're painting 28 men with leather pants?
Without shirts?
Yeah, I know.
That's the Marauder model. Considering you're the guy with the
whole Marauder army.
Yeah, I'm just saying. I'm comfortable with my sexuality, sir. I'm just posing the question.
I'm not. There's not really a sexuality question there. So, anyways, I mean, this whole unit has a level of paint that's now gotten me to a tabletop quality. Without investing huge time expenses into getting it done, I could easily have painted this unit if I had just a half hour, 45 minutes to dedicate to painting every a week. I could have easily painted this unit in a week. Which really, like with a Chaos Army, I could have a whole army painted literally easily in a month.
Or you could paint it the way I did and paint an army in a week. Just 30 to 45 minutes a week, a day.
You could.
Yeah, it probably wouldn't look...
I think the end results are drastically different. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that's definitely painted and it get by. And in some circles, that's like above and beyond the level of paint that's normally available or accepted.
Yeah, I actually walked into our local game store with my Night Goblins, which are not painted as well as these. They just really have three colors slopped on. And one of the players came up and said, "Oh, you have a painted army." And I was like, "No, I don't. I have three colors. It's really not a painted army." And then everybody else came over and was like, "Oh, that's really cool. You have a whole painted army." And I was like, "Oh, there's evidently a difference between my idea of what a painted army is than the casual gamer." So,
well,
from that perspective, I'm really happy with this army. I think it'll look really good across the table.
It really depends on what your perspective is too here. Yeah. It's, you know, I know the same crowd. It's, you know, especially at that point, everybody was playing with bare plastic. There was very little paint. So having painted models was, you know, having three colors on a model roughly where the paint should go is like an astounding achievement for them, especially when a Night Goblin army with you're slopping 300 or 400 models on the table sometimes.
So the other question here then is, what armies seem like good candidates for this kind of a speed painting?
Any model or army that requires you to paint you can get away with painting most of the model or all of the model with the same color.
So I think vampire counts is a pretty good, especially if you're using ghouls. I think skeletons would work pretty fast as well, or zombies have a lot of clothes on them, so I could see how those not
zombies are brown. You do brown.
Just brown all the way?
You do the same thing I did on the Marauders. You paint brown.
Mm-hmm.
You paint... in fact, I would paint the whole... I would just do the whole model brown, the bestial brown after a black undercoat. Do a dark brown. Mm-hmm. Do a flesh tone on the whole model. I wouldn't even bother skipping out on the leather bits. And then I would just go back and wash the leather bits.
All right, so what other armies seem like a good candidate for speed painting?
Pretty much all of them do. I stick away from the elves just because of the level of detail on the elven models, but most all the armies in Warhammer Fantasy lend themselves pretty well. Even like an Empire model lends himself, where you have a state troop that, yeah, sure, if I break it down his uniform into like three different colors, yeah, that's not going to lend itself to. But if I stick to, like, say, blue, mm-hmm. and start with a blue coat on the whole model...
Yeah.
And then just pick out the armor and flesh tone bits. Guess what? That's fairly quick, you know. And I get a nice depth, nice deep blue to work with. So,
cool. Any other tips before we head on?
I don't know. Let's see. One of the other things I know that, you know, with the way I do things, certainly lends itself to being able to go back later. I now have a really good base coat for going back and doing final highlights. At this point, a lot of people, this might be what a lot of people's base coat really is. I now have, I can just go back and, if I, you know, to go back, I could bring up the flesh tone another color or two. Maybe add a little bit of highlighting to some of the leather bits to make them just pop a little bit better. I wash the metal armor and metal parts to give them a little more depth. Certainly with just a plain out-of-the-pot metal color, that the metal looks kind of bland.
Yeah, and for me, speed painting is really fun because this army would have stayed in the box and probably never gotten painted had I actually sat and waited and decided that I was going to make it have the full army treatment and paint it as well as I possibly could. And I'm much more satisfied having the army to three colors and being able to put that on the table. I guess that might be a unique situation since I have more armies than I have time to paint. But
I think anybody that's a fan of miniatures, mm-hmm. no matter who they are, tends to end up having more miniatures than they can paint.
Hey, this would be a great way to paint a privateer press army, huh?
I don't think I'm going to bash on privateer press here like that, or privateer press players.
No, I'm just saying, like Trollbloods, I think would work really, really well for that kind of a thing.
The problem,
and especially because you've got the jacks and all that kind of
problem
stuff.
Problem with privateer press models is that there is a huge amount of detail.
Okay.
It really is. They are a larger scale model, mm-hmm. and there is an immense amount of detail. I'm not saying you can't speed paint them, but the more detail there is on the model, the more real detail there is,
okay.
the more easily it is for someone to look at the model mm-hmm. and say, hey, that's not painted, that doesn't look complete. Or for them to go ahead and say, to be able to pick out and go, hey, you didn't paint these bits. Like, you didn't go back and paint these pouches. You didn't go back and paint these. And it starts to look almost like a primer or an undercoat.
So, Flames of War, would that be a good candidate for speed painting then?
The scale of the model is so small that, of course, it is. At this point, you're painting, hey, I'm going to paint a bunch of, like, my Americans. I'm going to paint them all drab green. So, guess what? Drab green is pretty easy to speed paint out, and certainly there's very little detail to the models overall. I mean, because they're so small, you just don't have the detail of the pouches and stuff like that.
Cool.
But again, when the scale goes up, it tends to be easier to paint those details as well, even for somebody that's inexperienced. So you can add some more traditional techniques to paint the models.
All right, sounds good.
So I think the big thing here that we've talked about, we managed to talk about, is that it's not difficult, it's very easy to paint an army, paint models very quickly, and to at least a tabletop standard, at least something that looks sharp, looks respectable, and fits well on the tabletop. So, you know, for those of you that are maybe a little bit intimidated about painting or have...
Brian.
Yeah. but or just are you know showing up at the tourneys and maybe feeling like I can just get away with throwing what Paul likes to call three colors on an army, I think you can take it kick it up a notch with some of the basic speed painting techniques we've talked about here in this episode and have an army that looks just that much better.
All right.
So
cool.
Good luck with that, and if you have any questions about those kind of things, make sure you hit us up.
Or if you think that there's something that we missed, please let us know too. We love to hear about feedback, regardless of good or bad. So please let us know. Like I said, I'm probably going to speed paint up a couple more of my armies, so I'd love to have more tips if you have them.
All right, we'll go ahead and cut a break here, and when we come back, we'll go ahead and lead into our gaming spotlight. Hey yo folks, Wisco Dice is bringing you a special series coming soon. We are unshackling the Conesy and launching Conesy's Diaries. Conesy's Diaries will be a short show focusing on what the Conesy is working on, the games he's playing, and hey, whatever else the Conesy wants to do. So, hey, we're going to launch this show 3 times a week. Make sure you listen. Tune it in, man.
Yes, yes, Conesy, he's my favorite. You got to listen. Yeah.
You, sir, could never ruin my intro, because this is my intro. Okay, so we're back.
Thanks for that.
That was my intro and lead back to back.
To the gaming spotlight.
Oh.
Oh, hey. We're going to talk about a game called Zombie Flux. Is that right?
Yeah, Zombie Flux.
Have you played Zombie Flux?
I have played Zombie Flux.
Oh, I've never really heard of it.
I haven't played Zombie Flux, but I've played several Flux games.
Well, this would be the Flux games, too, in general.
That's, I think, the basic idea, is that the Flux system is a very basic system. It has keepers, creepers, goals, and rules.
Base Flux, I don't think, has creepers.
Oh, okay.
Or keepers.
Oh,
actually, I think it has keepers. It doesn't have creepers.
All right, cool.
In Flux, you start out with a card that's in the center of the board, and that's the entire rules of the game. At that moment in time. And during the game, you play cards that you get to play. You start out of the game, you get three cards in your hand, and you have a deck of cards in the center, and good job. And then you have the one rule card, which says all players start with three cards in their hands.
Play one card.
Draw two, play one, I think is what it says.
All right.
Okay, so when you play one, when you play it, you follow the rules on the card to play the card. Some cards become a new rule and add to the rules of the game. You know, some cards will indicate what the victory condition is.
The goal.
What the goal or ungoal could be in Zombie Flux.
All right.
Zombie Flux has an ungoal, which if there's X amount of zombies in play at a given time and every player's got a zombie in front of them, the players lose. So it's kind of a neat addition to that version of Flux.
And there's also keepers.
Yep, keepers.
Those are cards that you play in front, and then they stay in front of you.
And in Zombie Flux, these keepers are things like shotguns and chainsaws a lot of times, as well as some of the traditional Flux, because the traditional Flux cards are also included with Zombie Flux.
Yep.
What's traditional Flux?
The traditional Flux has these, I think, those four things only, or those three things, only. And so traditional Flux is just, it's really all a card game. You play the rules, the goals, and the keepers, and you have to have the certain combination of keepers in front of you. And if you have those keepers in front of you, when the goal card, that's the goal, the current goal in front of the table,
and doesn't matches, get changed.
And it doesn't get changed, and it matches what you have in front of you, the game ends, and you win.
Like a goal in this could be that you have the sandwich card and a car. And it could be that card could be called like fast food or something like that is what the card's called. So if you have the sandwich card and the car in front of you in Zombie Flux, then there's usually the added and no zombies in front of you, then you win.
Basically, that's really it for the basic rules. The really confusing part of Flux comes in is that you can change the rules at any time by playing a rules card from your hand. And instead of draw two, play one, it might go to draw seven and play one, or draw one and play seven.
So you're going to end up with like a million cards?
Yes, you end up with, all the games that I've played have ended up with between 5 and 10 ancillary rules sitting in the center of the table.
Yep.
And it gets pretty hard to keep track of at times.
So, it sounds like it.
And it can change from player to player as it goes along.
Which is which in my mind makes this game kind of great. It's cheap. It's really cheap. I mean, you go into like your game store or order it online, and it's this little bitty box. It costs like $15 or something like that, US. So it's not that terribly expensive. You sit down, you flip on the cards. The cards are kind of fun and funny. And, you know, like Zombie Flux, they have Pirate Flux, they have, you know, the standard Monty original Python Flux, they have
Martian Flux,
Stoner Flux, Martian Flux, whatever.
All kinds of these
different variations, which are just kind of themed versions of the original Flux game. And sometimes they add a little bit of different rules mechanic, like the Zombie Flux adds creepers, which are essentially zombie cards that you end up having. Every time you draw one, you have to put it in front of you immediately, and then you just keep drawing until you draw what you're supposed to. And the zombies tend to hurt you and or make things work against you towards you know, winning the game.
And to me, that really is what kind of seals my idea of the game, is that it's hard to play with a bunch of people because everybody ends up getting confused with the rules, and you spend more time trying to figure out which rules are currently in play than you do actually playing the game. And that can get frustrating.
I don't know. My experiences with this game haven't been that. Mm-hmm. Because
yeah, but you play with a very experienced group of gamers, typically, with your board games. You do.
I think Core Flux is a really good game for people that don't play games, because all the rules, I'm not stuck in the middle of the game going, what are the rules, or can I really do this, mm-hmm. and then having to give away what I want to do. All the rules are laying out there on the table in front of you. Mm-hmm. You might have to spend a little time looking at what the rule is, but at least the rule's there, versus in a rule book that one guy's got that's teaching the game, and I need to know if I can do something, but if I say if I can do something, or if I ask if I can do that, then everybody else knows what I want to do. And but, then if I find out I can't do that, and I've built some of my strategy around that, well, then I might have lost the game.
Well, but the frustrating thing to me is that you can't plan to win this game, period, because you just kind of have to rely on luck of the draw for the cards.
Yeah.
And because
I'll
you
argue
have to
that
spend
one too.
So much time reading the rules that are in front of you, it just gets a little frustrating.
I've never been frustrated with this game. Because, one, the rules are out there in front of me, mm-hmm. and two, I can play that goal. I can sit on a goal in my hand for a while, mm-hmm. and then the turn that I know I'm going to meet the goal, play the goal.
That's only if somebody doesn't play, you must play all seven cards in your hand at the same time. I mean,
there's counters to that sitting on the goal. That's just a counter to sitting on that.
My main issue is that when you learn how to play Flux, every time you play the game, you have to relearn it because the rules are constantly changing. That's what I don't like about it.
I don't think it's relearning the game. It's pretty much the same rules.
There are the same category of rules, but they're not all in play at the same time. So, to me,
that's
not
really relearning the game, though. And the rules right there, it's not that complicated. It's certainly far less complicated than, say, Settlers of Catan or an Aura Labora or...
Yeah, but once you learn the rules, then you don't need to learn them anymore. And they don't change.
The cards are all pretty much the same no matter what. The rules are there. You play Settlers 5 times, you get the hang of it. You get to anticipate not only what the rules are, what's going to come up in advance. You get a game like this, it's $15, you play it 4 or 5 times, you get to anticipate what cards are going to be in play.
But I don't want to play this game 4 or 5 card times, and I guess that's the key. It's a good game. It's a really fun design. And I really like the idea of it. But when it comes down to actually sitting and playing it, I'm never going to choose Flux over any other game that I own. And that doesn't mean it's a bad game. Like I said, I really like the design. It's a really cool idea. But
don't buy Settlers, buy Flux. There you go.
Don't buy Flux, buy Settlers.
Settlers is going to burn all your money. You're going to spend $50 to play Settlers.
It was 2 weeks ago. All right, we're not talking about Settlers.
You're gonna spend $50 by Settlers. You're gonna play
it
3 or 4 times, maybe a few more.
4,000.
Maybe a few more, and realize that there are far better board games that do the same thing out there. So you'll end up buying something better.
So Ben, I'm getting the feeling that you really like Flux.
I like Flux because it's cheap. It's a lot of fun, and it's cheap. It's not like I'm spending. Like, I really like Settlers. Don't get me wrong. I really like Settlers. But in comparison, there are better games out there right now on the market that do very similar game mechanics. Settlers is great because it's old and it was one of the first games to do that. But at the same time, there are better games out there that do what Settlers did and do it better. So, and or I have to spend a heck of a lot of money. It was one of my big points 2 weeks ago. I have to spend a heck of a lot less money to buy those other games. Like an Agricola, I spend $50, I got the game. Yep. I don't need to spend $20 just so I can play the game with 6 players.
Yeah, and everybody heard that 2 weeks ago.
Zombie Flux, or any of the other Flux family of games, mm-hmm. it's like $15. Done. I'm done. That's a great investment for hours of fun.
All right.
There are very few games with this much fun that you can pay that kind of money for, period.
Sounds good.
So, and that's the point I want to make.
All right. I think you made it. Good job, sir.
So now that Paul's done telling you not to buy it, I hope you now realize that it's a great game to buy.
Now we're going to move on to the book, How to Paint Citadel Miniatures. And we're actually going to ask Brian to kind of spearhead this
segment. To talk a bunch. That's going to be interesting.
Yeah, he's actually read the book, and he's even painted models using it. So.
Whereas I still have the store copy.
Yeah, and I don't have the book at all. I've kind of flipped through it a couple times. So
Brian's actually went out, looked at the store copy I had, went out and bought the store copy, and then said, holy cow, this actually works. I think I'll buy some of the new Citadel paints to go with it so I can follow the steps step by step, and he's done some amazing work out of that. So, Brian, let's hear from you. How do you think of the book?
All right, well, I guess it did what it was supposed to do for me. Like, I don't know, Ben broke it down for exactly how I went about that, but I guess I'm impressed. I painted my first miniature, and it looks pretty good. Woo-hoo! Well, my first, like, real painted one, I guess.
It does
recently.
Look really good.
So, I mean, it got the job done. It's definitely a helpful book, I guess. I think the big thing was just actually starting into it, so this broke it down really well and made me feel like I knew what I was doing before I started and saw the results step by step and had something like a guideline to follow. The book, how it's laid out, it breaks down like the whole actual hobby. There's even a little bit of assembly in there and how to clean up your models and stuff like that. And then it breaks down each individual type of painting in it too, from like dry brushing and how to do your layers, and also like some of the new stuff like the glazes and stuff like that. It goes over those in better detail in the beginning. And then there's, I don't know how many, must be like 8 different armies they go over like painting. But in addition to those, I even substituted some of the colors. I just did a skeleton. It's almost exactly like the one in the book for the most part, but you could also take parts. Like for the metal, I wanted it a bit brighter than the way they did it on the skeleton, so I actually looked at the Minas Tirith army in there to get the better colors for that. And then in the back, it also says maybe there wasn't like a red you were looking for. It goes over what order to use their paints in to get a good red out of it. But it worked really well. I'm actually really surprised with how good it turned out.
So it sounds like you read the entire book.
More or less. I guess, yeah, there's not too much writing in there. And then, like, back in, like, the army sections, there's a ton of pictures, which is actually really cool, of each step. And, yeah, I guess I more or less read the whole thing.
Mm-hmm. So you read the whole thing, and then you settled on which colors you wanted. It looks like, it sounds like you picked and choosed.
Yeah, I really did.
Colors. And that's kind of a fun idea to me, that you can look at, say, Minas Tirith and say, wow, they've shown me exactly how to do this color. I mean, would you say that you could feel pretty confident painting almost any color out of that book?
Yeah, for sure.
So why is that? Is it just because it shows it as step by step? Or what is it really that kind of made you feel confident enough to be able to start painting a model?
It did really do it like step by step. It said like, do this and then do this. And it, I mean, with each step, it showed a before and after of everything out of it. So it really got you like what you're going to get out of doing each thing. And not really more seeing the final result and expecting how doing this and this and this is supposed to end up looking like that. So seeing each individual step, I guess, really helped me with knowing what I'm supposed to do at that given moment with this color.
Mm-hmm. And I know reading White Dwarf in the past, there used to be some painting guides, quote unquote, where they would say, put on midnight blue. And then they would show the picture and they'd done like 7 or 8 small, like very thin layers of something, and then they added something else into it, and then they'd be like, put on enchanted blue. And then they would do like another 8 or 10 layers, very, very thin, and it would have this really cool gradated effect, and you would try and paint that out of White Dwarf onto a model, and it would look like crap.
Oh, I love how the models are, you purchase a box of miniatures, and they tell you what colors you need,
you need
for the miniatures. I'm like, I need 5 paints for that, and I'm looking at the model, I'm like, that they show on the box, I'm like, wow, there's a lot more colors here than just 5. So this stuff, my impression of the book, too, it's really good at explaining a great paint system for someone that needs to learn how to paint to go out and then purchase the Citadel miniatures. Certainly, if you're new to painting or you guys are out there that are listening, haven't painted miniatures before, go pick this book up, read it, look it over, and then go to the store and buy the paints for the colors you want it to look as it shows it in the picture, and just do what the book says.
I actually highlighted something you had said before. Brian, did you feel that this was actually a paint system as opposed to a guide?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's all just laid out right there for you. I mean, if you do what it says, it ends up how it's supposed to look, I guess. I mean, it's not like perfect painting. It's really quick. I guess it felt really quick. It took me a while to do the first miniature, but I mean, I was working on one guy. It was just like really my test model, my first one, to make sure it looked how I wanted. So I was waiting for each individual coat to dry, but painting in a line, I would have had it done like super fast. I probably could have did the 10 model unit in the same amount of time as I did the one guy.
Yeah, you were waiting a lot of time for that model to dry.
Yeah.
Well, it certainly, it doesn't say on the cover that it's how to paint Golden Demon miniatures.
Yeah, for
it's
sure.
How to paint Citadel miniatures. And it definitely, you produced a nice tabletop quality miniature that nobody'd be ashamed of playing against at any tournament I know of. Heck, that looks better than probably 50% of the field just with... You sat down in 2 hours, the same 2 hours I was painting Marauders, you sat down and pretty much painted that guy, having never really painted anything
yep.
to any level of wow factor. And you've got Paul and me both going, wow, those golds look really good. That the bone looks really good. We're still not 100% sure on that axe, but the rest of it. Well, yeah, it looks really good.
Yeah, and I think that's what I really like is that they literally do show the paint job in the stages, and the models that are painted at the end when they say this is a finished model look good.
Yep.
They don't look amazing. They don't look like Anya Wintergreen spent 6 hours painting this one model lovingly, and that was only on the brown cloak. You know, they look like... Somebody like Chris Peach, I know, did the Empire Army, and I was looking at the White Dwarf, and it looks like he painted a tabletop army.
Yeah, on the tabletop, it just looks great.
It looks cool. I mean, it's got these really interesting colors. It doesn't look amazing. He didn't spend hours upon hours working on the skin tone, and it just looks good. It looks like it's going to be fun to play.
That was one spot I wish in the book that they would have elaborated and taken that Empire flesh a little bit further, because I thought his like faces mm-hmm. and stuff like that, I really wish they would have taken that just a touch further.
Well, but here's the thing, though. Ben, you and I think, have painted enough models to say, if I were going to paint that model, I would use these 4 steps, and then you know what? I'm going to use a little bit of elf flesh, or whatever the equivalent is now, and really bring that highlight out more to what I want that model to look like. And I think after looking at this, you would have the confidence, I mean, on the first paint job, you already were switching colors and substituting colors.
Yeah.
I think after this first paint job, you'd be like, well, maybe I could use a little bit more of skull white on the bone in this specific thing. Or maybe I could actually add a little bit more auric gold in this specific area. And it really isn't almost as good of a book at teaching you how to paint as it is a very good book in giving you the confidence to be confident in your painting. And I think that's what I really enjoy about this book. I mean... Sitting down and looking at it, I think that I could paint pretty much any color, which is something that I could not say confidently before. I mean, reds and yellows and whites are always something that never seem to turn out the way that I want them to. But following this guide, I get a color. I know what the color is going to look like because I have a picture right there, and I know what steps I need to take to get there. And to me, it sounds like that's exactly what you saw in it, too.
Yeah, for sure. I'm really surprised at just how going along in the steps, like, I guess pretty much everything in it follows with like a base coat, a wash, then a few layers. Dry brushing could be one of the layers. And just, yeah, it really gets you good shades and highlights out of it. So I was really surprised at that because that was the thing I was the most unsure on. I could put the color on the model, but how getting really the depth out of it, the system really worked on that. So
very cool.
And all their paints seem really good, too. Like, I assume the bases are probably pretty close to their foundations. I think everybody liked those, so those all seemed really good. I haven't really used any of them before. The wash, like, I don't know, Ben was sitting here with me when I was washing it. I'm like, wow, this is awesome. Because, like, the wash was just doing a great job shading everything.
Yeah, that's definitely something that's came a long ways in the Citadel paint range, going back to those old inks,
yep.
The brown inks and the black inks, which were so glossy
chestnut ink.
It was so glossy, you could never paint it out of the pot. You had to thin it down. And even after you thinned it down, it would still be glossy in the model,
yep.
And it never quite did what you wanted it to, and it was really frustrating. You know, back then, to try to paint like you're painting that guy from your first models, trying to get it to work with a out of the Citadel paint range that was not designed for a new painter to come in and just start painting guys.
Well, and I don't have any experience looking at Privateer Press's paint range or Reaper's paint range. Do they have anything like this? Where it literally is just sit down, get these. I mean, Reaper has a triad, and that seems pretty cool. I think that's something that would be enjoyable to use because they actually have the base, the mid-tone, and the highlight. But they don't have washes to go with it, if I'm not mistaken. Is that correct?
I don't know if Reaper does or not, but...
And Privateer Press...
Privateer Press has something more traditional. The P3 range has something more traditional to the old Citadel inks, but they aren't quite as glossy. They're like a nice in-between. P3 paints tend to... The name says what it does. So you go out and buy Kador Red, and you want to highlight Kador Red, you buy... There's a Kador Red highlight, which is really kind of an orangey color.
So it sounds like a triad system, too, with Privateer Press.
And they don't really trilight it. It's like one highlight.
Okay.
So I've got I've got Kador Red base, which is really almost the old blood red from the Citadel range.
Yep.
And then I go to Kador Red highlight.
Okay.
Which is really an orange.
Don't they have washes for everything too, though?
They have inks. They don't have specific washes.
So it sounds like, at least to me, Games Workshop kind of had a fail here with making sure that the colors actually matched what they were supposed to be, especially with changing the name of every paint in the range. I mean, Privateer Press and Reaper seem like a much more sit down, look at the paints, and be able to paint something. But as far as actually having a system of being able to paint a model and being shown how to do it step by step, GW really seems to have taken a step forward in this new paint range. Do you feel like you would have been nearly as confident with the old paints?
Not at all. I guess that's why the book really grabbed me, and that's how I ended up painting a model today.
All right.
Could also hit on their, like, Ben was saying, like, how they're not, like, traditional paints anymore, and that kind of steers him away from them, but I could see people getting some benefit out of some of them. I guess one thing specifically is the dry paints. They're really kind of weird. You can flip the pot over and the paint doesn't move. You can shake it, the paint doesn't move. That's how like thick this stuff is. And it makes it, I don't know, just dry brushing was pretty easy with it. It seemed like you're wasting a lot less to get the same results since it starts out so dry. So I can see people benefiting from that, I guess. But
very cool.
It was definitely a point of mine was that for me, as having my old paints, I've always used Citadel paints. And I'm very familiar with the old range. I've tried to move away from them, but I always just keep coming back. This new range, with the way some of the paints are formulated, and the way I paint currently on my stuff that I've really put a lot of time on. I mean, I can speed paint out of this set, no problem. I get the system, I could do and replicate what Brian did in 2 hours very easily. And just like you said, you could paint a whole unit of 10, like your 10 guys, probably in the same amount of time. I could sit down and do that and get a really great quality model. But I just assumed at the price point for Citadel Miniatures being at the level I'm at for the price point for the mini, the paints, I think I'm done with Citadel paints. I think I'm going to look at either, I'm not sure if I like the dropper bottles, but I'm really looking hard at Vallejos and Reaper Master Series. So my next major army project, I'm probably going to be getting rid of all these old Citadel paints because I probably won't have enough to finish the project.
Yeah, and that's something I'm going to have to deal with, too. I painted up most of my Ogre army. I'm going to have to finish painting up that Ogre army, and if I run out of paints, I don't have a whole lot of access to finding a couple of replacements for some of those colors. So, fortunately, I didn't use Devlin Mud or anything. It's like the price of gold at this point. But I actually am kind of looking forward to being able to use the new paints on an army that might not be painted to the same high level, just to really get a feel for them and see how they work. That's something I'm kind of excited about, to be honest. So, do you feel like moving on, Ben?
I don't know.
Angry enough to do, you know, yelling at people about stuff?
I guess.
Because if so, and I think it's time for Coonsie's Rant!
Okay, so today on Coonsie's Rant, we're going to complain and whine and bicker about something very near and dear to my heart, being an event organizer for pretty much since I've got into anything, way back to, you know, about a year after I found out about D&D when I was in high school and then became the GM, I have always been the organizer. I've always been the person that's been on top of getting schedules, getting people orientated to where they need to be, and doing that. So when you are organizing the event, and some of this rants really stems off the Podcaster Challenge and how that went down. As much as I enjoyed hanging out with all those dudes, the communication breakdowns were horrible, as we talked about, and the scheduling of it could have been better. Mm-hmm. Certainly, knowing that you got one guy that's going to drive 5 hours to make sure that they're there at 1 o'clock should have made that there was more of a priority to make sure that that guy had people to play against at 1 o'clock. Even if that meant that you had to whine at some of the locals a lot really hardcore to get them to be there. Or to say at some point, hey, I don't think things are going to work out. At best, I'm going to be the only guy there and I don't want you to drive 5 hours to be here if something happens and I can't make it. Can you go ahead and show up, say at 6 instead? Because then I know we'll have multiple people here. That's something that I certainly would. I don't want to. Mark, if you're listening to the show, don't think I'm knocking this against you. Because I'm not. Because this is something you learn with experience and having run events to an extent. But it's something that I want to bring up as this is something that happened to us. And for those of you that are running events, to be aware of, to, whether it's just organizing your buds to come over and play in your basement. Which, if you're doing that, listen to a couple rants back and start getting involved in your local community.
To running a tournament and getting there 15 minutes after you said you were going to be there.
Yeah.
Like I did at RockCon last year because I was waiting for one of my referees to show up and we were all in the same car. And I got there 15 minutes late. Just because I'm on the show doesn't mean that I'm exempt from his rant. And this time, it's a little bit justified. So people were sitting there waiting to play their games, waiting to figure out which table they were on. And I'm
waiting to figure out if even
the
event's going to happen.
Exactly, and that's not a fun place to be in.
Nope, that's certainly not. And so, if you're going to organize something, try to be on top of it. You certainly cannot anticipate every circumstance, but you certainly can anticipate, say, drive times. Mm-hmm. You certainly can anticipate, maybe there's going to be a vehicle breakdown. What's going to happen if my vehicle breaks down on the way to this event? I can anticipate that. I can anticipate if it's going to snow in December on the day. I can anticipate, for Merry Mayhem. I've had to anticipate for that for years now. I've had to anticipate that I'm going to have a heck of a snowstorm and that I'm going to lose a large chunk of my turnout. And how am I going to deal with that? Mm-hmm. So there are things that, those are things that from all of us as event organizers, that we need to be aware of. So this is for all of you guys out there that are organizing events, whether the little ones in your basements or the big ones or big tournaments, to make sure you're on top of it. Make sure that you are on top of anticipating and then communicating and then getting your scheduling out to those people so that you can anticipate everybody else's needs, because at the end of the day, the more smoothly you make it for their fun, the more fun you'll end up having in return.
And that was Colty's Rant! All right.
Go ahead and cut a break here.
All right.
And then when we get back, we'll go ahead and wrap things up. Yo, yo. let's tell a story about something or other. I don't know the words.
Let's tell a story about a land. I don't know.
That's it. We're done.
We're done.
We're done. We're back. We're lame. We're not all fresh and awesome.
Come on. Just because I don't know the words to Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. All
right. So that means you're not fresh.
That means that there are many other reasons that I'm not lame, but not knowing Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, I'm sorry.
Lame.
I didn't watch it when I was little.
Yep.
Should he say lame again?
Yeah, I think it's been lame again. You done burned my biscuits!
I was all down with DJ Jazzy Jeff. And the Fresh Prince.
I was all down with the Kaz and his foot pops. That's what we watch.
Put that in your pipe and smoke it.
Oi!
I'm done with listening to you! Let's get out of something serious!
Oh, okay.
Have we ever done that?
No.
No, I don't think seriousness is part of
it. Every once in a while, and then I'm like, eh. Ben's getting serious again.
I get serious, spout some opinion, make some people angry.
Yeah. Ellion,
that's for you, buddy.
Really, Ben's not that bad.
I'll call you out.
Maybe. Yes.
I know that we don't see eye to eye on almost anything Warhammerish, but that's okay as long as you keep listening to the show.
All right. So,
at the end of the day, we both love the game, and that's all that counts.
The love of the game.
Okay, you don't need to make that motion ever again.
That's why it's radio. See, nobody knew that I was making a motion.
They do now.
Thanks.
It was definitely a Johnny Hastings kind of motion.
What, you mean like looking awesome and having a gorgeously painted army kind of motion?
Something like 2 to 3 times a day awesome.
All right, so we're going to move on to our hobby and gaming goals for the next couple of weeks.
How does that sound, Ben?
Does that sound like more family-friendly topics?
That sounds like something we should talk about.
Yeah, all right.
So, Brian, what are you going to try to do for us
in
the next couple of weeks or so?
Yeah, you've already shown us that you can paint something. Now
I'm pretty sure the 10-man unit of Bowman.
Nice.
Skeleton Bowman is going to happen.
Nice. All
painting
right.
is what I'm talking
and
about.
And that's what's going to happen. Bam!
All right, good. Paul,
I
what are you going to get done?
Vampire Counts characters. I have the Plastic Necromancer and I have 3 Banshees. I think I'm going to paint them up, speed paint them up to match the army, just so I have a little bit of a character selection to use. So I'd like to get those done. 4 models.
Okay. I'm going to wrap up these Marauders. Just because I need to wrap them up for the show content, so we need to take some pictures of them.
Cody-o.
And then I'm going to go ahead and focus on something really important. Like, I want to finish out, I'd like to have 5 Harpies finished. So I'm going to finish up 2 more converted Harpies. And I want to try to get some more of my roller derby team put together from that Impact Miniatures line.
Well, look at Mr. Ambitious over there.
Well, I got all this time. I'm definitely with editing the show and stuff like that, and the things I do sitting here in front of the laptop. It's far away from where I usually paint, so if I'm sitting here in front of the laptop, I'm usually putting models together. So I'm just going to be ambitious and put models together.
Nice.
Oh, and I'm going to try to get that unit Ungor put together.
Whoa.
So I should have 2 units of 5 Ungor done, too.
Would I just fly to the moon and back?
I've already got 2 of them done.
Well,
this is a lot different than painting. Painting requires me to go like 6 or 7 feet and walk away from the computer. Go over there. Assembly is right here in front of the computer.
Yeah, but you hate assembly.
I do, but since I'm sitting here mindlessly looking at like Twitter while I'm doing an edit, or sitting here mindlessly looking at Facebook while doing an edit,
or
having that stuff right there in front of my hands means it gets worked on every so often.
Very cool. All right. Well, good job for you, Mr. Ambitious.
That's ambition.
My primer, I'm going to try and actually get my Maneater model, my Goldfang Maneater, assembled and primed, and my new BSB primed as well. So, there you go. I'll be a little bit more ambitious too, huh? What you going to say now?
Well, if I was really going to try to outdo you, then I'd have to put together that last couple of Beastman Chariots I have to put together.
Oh.
So that I have everything but the Minotaur put together that I own.
Well, maybe I'm going to paint a whole other army.
Yeah, well, I don't really count what you call painted army really as painted, so.
Yeah, maybe I'll have all my Beastmen done.
That silly 3-color stuff just doesn't cut it.
Well, it's in the tournament.
So. I only have 3 colors.
You do realize that old 3-color standard spawns down from Games Workshop, and that nobody's really changed that since the old Rogue Trader days.
I thought we were going to like not talk about that for one episode.
I didn't really talk
just
about
one.
That. I'm just talking about the history.
All right.
I'm just talking about history, about where that came from.
All right. I did not know. Yes, I did. Of course I knew that. How long have I been in the hobby?
I don't know.
10, 11 years?
It doesn't matter. How long have you really been caring about going to tournaments? Not that long.
No. That's true. That is a true statement.
Now, I've been going to tournaments since they were just about tournaments in Wisconsin.
So if you feel like hearing more of this bickering, you can access us on where? Like iTunes? Can you find us on iTunes?
Of course you can.
All right. How about Stitcher Smart Radio?
Yep.
Oh, okay. BlackBerry Podcast?
Yes, sir.
Do we even have a website?
We do have a website.
Wow, we've really hit the big time. What do you think, Brian? Does that mean we've hit the big time? I don't know. Brian is saying no. I'm getting a feeling from the silence of Brian.
Brian has now gotten himself listed for a mugging out in the parking lot after recording this episode.
WiscoDice.com. Check it out.
Yeah, get on there. Check it out.
WiscoDice.com. Also, you can like us on Facebook or join the Facebook group. I saw that we had another like and another person joined the Facebook group. So,
yeah, we're slowly creeping up there to that 100. Quite crossed that. We still haven't crossed that 50 likes on Facebook. So
come on, people.
It's kind of sad. We will announce another prize for that big Facebook 100 likes contest as soon as we cross that 50 likes threshold.
Ooh, that's
so
cool.
If you haven't got on the show, you're listening to this, and you've been listening to our shows, and you like what you're listening to, or at least like us enough to keep listening to us, get onto Facebook and hit us up with a like so that we know about you. We know we have fans. It makes us feel good. It makes us feel like we're doing something worthwhile. And on top of that, you'll definitely earn yourself the ability to be in that drawing for that prize pool that keeps getting bigger and bigger. So what do we have listed to that prize pool?
Well, we have some Black Library swag. We have a couple of books that send your way.
Yep, we have a couple of Black Library books.
Mm-hmm.
We also have now an Impact City Roller Derby team.
Roller Derby!
And so when we hit 50 likes, we're going to throw something else in there. Cool. Something Games Workshop, probably.
Ooh. That's
so
exciting.
You make sure you get on there and get those likes in so that we can get to that 100 mark level.
Well,
and at that point, we'll have the drawing.
And if you like us, you can also follow us on Twitter. I am at WiscoDice, and you are at Dugan Brightaxe. Oh, okay. And also on Google+.
He has now earned himself a mugging in the parking lot as well.
What happens when you earn yourself a mugging in the parking lot? You just, like, start punching yourself in the head?
I don't earn muggings in the parking lot.
What if your wife says you earned a mugging in the parking lot?
My wife doesn't have any say in this mugging in the parking lot thing.
Who does have a say?
No one. I make up the rules for this mugging in the parking lot deal.
Well, it's a good thing you don't have a parking lot. That's all I'm going to say.
It's called the street.
You're going to beat us up, leave us on the street, and then have people run over us because we're lying in the middle of the street.
Okay, I'm going to beat up some of you a little less than that.
All right, sounds good. So,
that would be you, Brian. I will beat you up less.
Where are we at Google+, Ben?
We are.
Looks at. Scrapped.
I don't remember.
It's really hard to remember Wisco Dice.
Yeah. Wisco Dice at Gmail.
That's like the one that's different. It's WiscoDice@gmail.com.
Oh, all right.
And yes, we do actually post there something. So, hey, make sure. Not only just do you get your episode announcements, but occasionally I blurb something on there about what I'm doing. Or
is that the formal term on Google Plus is blurb?
Yeah, you blurb things on Google Plus, I think.
It's better than slurping.
And that was a segue in what way?
I don't know.
Yeah, that was just nonsensical ridiculousness.
No, we slurp things at work.
Ben slurps lots
we
of
slurp,
things.
We slurp lots of stuff
this
at work.
This is a family-friendly cast. We're just going to move on from that topic.
Why? It's when you take a bunch of, like, you discover this device and you have all this code, you got to take that file
totally
and slurp it
into the
Perl process, the Perl program that then takes it and adds it to our monitoring software. So we slurp. It's a very non-technical term.
All right. Sounds good.
All right. So anyways, on top of that great piece of knowledge about my workplace that you don't really care about, let's go ahead and hit up our last final contacts. We can hit us up on all of our email accounts, both at hosts@wiscodice.com. That is our joint email account.
Correct.
You can hit us up at, or you can hit me up anyways personally, at bcone@wiscodice.com.
And I'm available at pwagner@wiscodice.com.
Don't bother sending him anything. He doesn't read his email anyways.
Oh, no, I just read all the feedback about Ben. And that takes up most of my time.
which is the only feedback you're reading is all the greatness about what I do. So
yes,
all of my opinions about how people agree completely with everything I say.
There was a lot of quote great in there, but it was never in reference to your intelligence or great quote ness. There was great other things like great idiot or great man of stupidity. I don't know.
I still feel that my opinions are quasi-sound.
Well, I hope that you have opinions and that you believe in them when you say them, because...
I have an opinion about your face.
Yeah?
That's pretty ugly. I'm glad the milkman is the father of your child. Yeah, we keep bringing that up, too. It's great.
I don't care.
What else can we talk about that we haven't talked, that we've got to bring up from a previous cast?
You don't have that on the...
Well, we could talk about the three-color minimum again.
We've beaten that to death. I don't think that needs to be beaten up any more than doing three-color socks.
We can talk about time travel some more.
Time travel is good.
Bebop and Rocksteady. Bebop and Rocksteady! Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
That was a cool episode. Man, you missed that episode too, Brian.
Yeah.
Turtle power!
Man, Brian, you got to listen to the show. You can't just come on and expect to know what's going on. You got to listen to the whole show when it's put together.
Yeah, but he's actually painting now, so...
You got to paint. You can listen
to the
show. Yeah,
get off my back, Ben.
You can listen to the show.
Lay off.
Ben, stop being the monkey and buy it back. You're burning my biscuits.
Oh, my God.
Well, thank you for listening.
On that bombshell.
On that bombshell.
That bombshell.
It's time to end.
Yes, 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 Master. Yes, we are getting... I don't know what they're getting. They're getting almost better. Oh, better. Even that Brian, oh my God, Pete. You look cool. Yes, yes.
There goes our fan.
Yeah, our one fan,
our one and lowly fan.
He is
our official beater up in the parking lot dude too now.
I think he's also quote the fan with the most.
He is
the most
awesome fan ever. That's what he is. He's been promoted.